Thank you, Lord. Just lift your hands up with me right now. Thank you, Lord. Father, we honor your presence. We acknowledge that you are the King in this room. You are the Lord of all. And Father, you have lowered your scepter toward us that we might gain entrance into your glory. And Father, we don't take lightly the fact that we are in your throne room right now and we've come into your courts and we know that we don't deserve to be here, but by the blood of the Lamb. And so right now, Father, we just humble ourselves and we ask, oh God, that you would speak to us. And your words can never be altered or changed. And they are eternal. So whatever you say tonight, Father, is eternal. And we are receptive, we are open to that, and we just thank you that you're speaking to us in Jesus' name. I just want you to, in your encounters tonight in worship and prayer, I want you to write down what God's showing you to, because this is a very significant moment in all of our lives. But I'm just going to take a couple of minutes, and I felt like the Lord was speaking to me about breaking curses, and I don't know the last time I've actually preached on that. And I'm not going to preach, but I'm going to teach just a smidgen if I can. Because, Galatians 3, I'm going to start there, verses 13 to 14. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. And you can keep playing if you like. I like that. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. That the blessing of Abraham, say the blessing of Abraham, see, might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, amen, and that we would receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. A curse is commonly thought of something that is intended by one person to have a significant evil effect or impact on another person. That's sort of how we can define that. But did you know that a curse could be intentional, or it can be self-inflicted, or it can be unintentional? So these are things that the Holy Spirit began to stir in my heart. For example, a conditional curse can take place upon like a stated condition. For example, if you were a Masonic Lodge member and you broke secrecy, then there would be a curse that would come upon you by virtue of your agreement to hold secret those vows. You follow what I'm saying? So that's like a conditional curse. But an unconditional curse is imposed by others and operate irrespective of the circumstance. So it doesn't really matter whether you broke a law or didn't break a law, but it's irrespective to circumstances. It is unconditional, sent by a witch or a witch doctor, or it could really be by an authority figure who can curse you. Self-imposed curses can be initiated by careless words. Have you ever done that? I am so stupid. Those are careless words. Those are self-inflicted curses upon yourself. I like what Kenneth Copeland says. You are the prophet of your life. You declare over your life, and you are the prophetic voice over your life. So generational curses is another aspect that can be passed on from one generation to another. And Exodus chapter 34, verses 6 through 7 says, then the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, and abounding in goodness and truth. In verse 7, he says, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. So a curse can follow a generation. And you often can see that in many families. And I know in my life there was this generational curses. But the effects are are very grave, because I believe a curse opens a portal to demonic activity. So an established curse releases authority to demons to exercise their work or exercise their power in that person or in that family. And these operations of spirits will continue until they're broken. They don't tire out. They don't wear out. They don't get tired of messing with you. They've got to be broken. So a curse can be unintentional, usually by careless words, and become spiritual bondage, actually. Or they can lead to demonic bondage. Like, I just can't do anything right. Or I know I'm probably going to be sick all my life. I'll be coming back to this doctor's office every other day. I know that this is in my family. I'll probably die of this just like my family died of this. So careless words that become a spiritual bondage. And you almost empower demonic spirits to establish your words. See what I'm saying? So you establish your words. And Proverbs 15:4 says, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life. Say that with me. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life. Watch this. But perverseness in it breaks the spirit. So a wholesome tongue, say it with me again, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life. So my words, my wholesome words, unwholesome word proceed out of your mouth, but only that which is edifying to the hearer gives grace to the hearer, right? Edifying to one another and gives grace to the hearer. So wholesome tongue is a tree of life. So we're told in Paul's letter to the Ephesians never to speak unwholesome words. But we say to one another, but even to ourselves. You don't speak an unwholesome word to yourself. Proverbs 18:21, read this one with me. I know you know it, but read it anyway. Come on, let's go. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. So death has fruit, but life has fruit. I'd rather have life fruit than death fruit, right? Now, you know, some people say, well, that woman drives me crazy. That's an unwholesome word. And you are opening yourself to a crazy demon. I know these, oh, come on, pastor, I didn't mean it. You didn't have to mean it. You said it. Death and life are in the power of what? And let no unwholesome word proceed out of your mouth, right? So here I am talking about that woman drives me crazy. Or I was scared to death. Or I know some of you are probably looking at me like out of one eye. But it's okay. I'm so scared of being poor. I don't feel like we're ever going to make it. What if I get sick? What if I don't have enough money to retire on? What if I lose my job? On and on and on and on. Mental or emotional breakdown are sometimes the results of these curses. Mental breakdowns, emotional breakdowns, repeated chronic sicknesses are often, barrenness, breakdown of family. Did you ever notice in some families there's just one broken marriage after another, after another? Nobody can stay married in the family until you break that curse. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Okay. Financial insufficiency. Financial insufficiency. Never having enough. Never having enough. I believe words, cursed words were spoken over Lorraine Church on the North Coast. People have cursed that ministry. And financial insufficiency as a result. That thing needs to be broken. God showed me that today. Accident proneness. Some people are always getting in accidents. They don't wreck one car, they wreck three cars every year. You say, well, what's going on with that? Sometimes those are as the results of a curse or a history of suicides or early deaths, premature deaths in a family. So we see not all of those occurrences are curses, but it can be. I'm just pointing out that it can be. Some of those can be. So how do we recognize if there is a curse? Number one, have you been involved in occult practices? Have you messed with the Ouija board? I used to mess with the Ouija board. I've had to repent of that. I used to seance around candles. I tried to conjure up spirits before I was saved. Isn't that crazy? Occult practices. So sometimes you can recognize there might be a curse because I've been involved in occult practices. Let me also say this. Evil video games, movies or books that you have involved yourself in. You like to be scared. You go to horror movies. Many times these can be open doors as well. So that perhaps you can recognize that that might have come a curse. Or a membership in a secret society. Or I think this is a real good insightful one. Difficulty with authority figures. If you have difficulty with authority figures, you're always bucking heads with anybody that has authority. Whether it's the pastor, your boss, the policeman, you know, anybody, the clerk at the drugstore, it doesn't matter. Anybody has authority, you have a problem with and you have a run-in with. A lot of times that's a curse. And the reason for that is because somebody in authority in your life spoke over you words that were a curse orientation, like, you'll never make it. I didn't even want you when you were born. You're the worst kid in my class. See, it could have been a number of things that these authority figures have spoken over us and caused our life to become suspect of curses through derogatory statements. You know, not everybody speaks well of you. How many know that? And authority figures that speak derogatorily toward you can bring a curse. So we have to say, okay, all right, I get that. Sometimes we have difficulty, there might be a curse involved. We have difficulty growing in our salvation. Some people get saved. Have you ever noticed they get saved and they're like flatlined? They never really grow in Jesus. They just flatline. A lot of times that's as a result of a curse, and they have difficulty in praying for the presence of the Holy Spirit. You come in an atmosphere like this, and not all the time, but a lot of times they'll be like cold as ice, don't want to be here, want to leave, very uncomfortable with the flow of the presence of God. And a lot of times it's as a result of some curse that came to their life. Lack of progress in your salvation, I've already said that. So power and authority to break any curse comes through the cross, right? Curses anyone who hangs on the tree, Jesus. He became the curse for you. So any curse can be broken with the power of the cross in the name of Jesus. And the blood of Jesus is effective for more than just forgiving your sins. The blood of Jesus is effective for healing, deliverance, sanctification, and to break curses. Hallelujah. So, we need to prepare ourselves to be delivered from any known or unknown curse. Now, how do I do that? And I want you to kind of write this down. Number one, I'm going to repent of all rebellion and sin in my life. So I'm just going to go, and we're going to do this. We're going to do like a mass deliverance here in a minute, okay? So I'm just going to say, Lord, I'm repenting of any rebellion in my life, any sin in my life. Lord, I just repent of that in Jesus' name. Show me, Holy Spirit, where I have been rebellious in any dimension of my life. Number two, ask and claim forgiveness for that rebellion and for any sin. Number three, forgive anyone who's ever injured you, hurt you, despitefully used you. There's a lot of us in here about that. And we've got to let that go. We've got to forgive them and let them go. And realize that that could be a portal. That could be a connection of demonic activity, bondage in my life. And I'm not going to allow that to remain in my life. Number four, renounce all contact with anything occult or satanic. Now, we saw Jesse Duplantis last night preaching, and people said, well, they said, Jesse, you're just old-fashioned. And he was talking about why all these Pentecostal denominations are starting to embrace drinking alcohol. Because now we're under grace. And then Jesse said, well, let me say this. And the Holy Spirit showed him. He said, how about if I took your wife behind the curtain and I fondled her for a little while and then I brought her back to you? Would that be acceptable? Well, of course, they said, absolutely not. And he said, well, you're telling me you drink, but you don't get drunk. I'm telling you that it must be all right for me to mess with your wife as long as we don't commit adultery. And they said, oh, Jesse, you're making us think here. Listen, don't allow the world to seduce you into modern theology that is in error and is going to draw you in to a relationship that is going to open doors for demonic activity. I don't want to talk too much about that. I just want to throw that out there. So here's an example. I'm going to use my name. In the name of Jesus, I break the curse over Louis' life resulting from his father's statement that Louis would never amount to anything. I break the power of those words over Louis, and in the name of Jesus and through the blood of Jesus Christ, I break any bondage that those words have ever held over him. Further, I break every curse on Louis resulting from his father's careless statements about his lack of ability, about his lack of intelligence, and about his limited future possibilities. I break the bondage of any such words over Louis's life, and I pray for the healing of all wounds in his life that resulted from these words spoken in Jesus' name. They say, well, that's not very powerful. It's powerful when it's in Jesus' name. So you address it and you break its power. Now, self-imposed curses, you have to renounce all careless statements that you ever made over yourself. And I have to do this all the time. I actually had to correct somebody this morning. They said something about this is stupid. I said, it's not stupid. That's very intelligent. You're full of wisdom. You're full of intelligence. You flow in the gift of the Holy Spirit, and you're amazing. We have to be careful that our words don't come out because we don't value ourselves. We start cursing ourselves. So self-imposed curses, we have to come to the Lord tonight, and we have to say, you know, Father, I break these careless statements made over my life. I repent of not valuing me as you have created me and being derogatory about me when you say I'm the apple of your eye. So I renounce that. I ask you to forgive me of that. Are you following me so far? Two scriptures and then we're going to pray. Luke 6, 27-28. Love your enemies, do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who despitefully use you. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Romans 12:14. Bless and do not curse. Matthew 12:35-37. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give an account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. So tonight, if you want to participate in this, and you just want to, I think everybody's going to probably want to do it, so we don't all have to come up here. But it's a simple thing, and I want to lead you in a prayer. Can I do that? All right, let's all stand. All right, praise God. Our objective tonight is to expel any demons, close any avenues of access to our lives, and to keep these avenues closed in the future and never to open again, in Jesus' name. Say, I agree.
I agree.
All right, praise God. And the most effective way to work is that we come together in unity and declare that Jesus' name has all the authority and the blood of Jesus has defeated the devil. Amen? Say, I agree.
I agree.
All right, so here's what I want you to do. I just want you to lift your hand up before the Lord tonight. Thank you, Father. And I want you to say, Lord Jesus, I submit to you in the name of Jesus. And I renounce every curse, self-imposed, unintentional, intentional, or generational. And I thank you that the blood of Jesus is powerful enough to break every curse, spoken and unspoken, written or declared, myself speaking or family speaking. I break its power now in Jesus' name. Right there, I just want you to clap to the Lord. Amen. All right, say this with me. Lift a hand up to the Lord. Say, Lord Jesus, I thank you for the blood that you have given me freedom. You've given me freedom from all bondages, from all demonic activity, from every curse. I am a free person. I thank you that I've accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And I walk now as a disciple of His. And after tonight, no curse in any level, any dimension, will have any impact in my life. Because I break that curse through the name of Jesus and by the power of the blood of the Lamb. Right there, we just want to give Him clap praise. Come on, give Him clap praise. Thank you, Lord. Right now, say with me, Holy Spirit, would you reveal to me if I have unforgiveness in my heart, if I have rebellion in my soul, or any sin unconfessed? Now, ask the Holy Spirit to show you in those three areas. If He does, He will. Thank you, Lord. Just show us, Holy Spirit, if there's anything there that you need to show us. We just are open to it right now, and we thank you. Just take us back, God, if we have to go back to childhood or parenthood or siblings or school or whatever it is, God, we just ask that you show us that in that area. If there's unforgiveness, if there's any place where I did not repent or renounce, or any place that Father, I've been rebellious or I've walked in sin, I just ask that you show me now, Holy Spirit, and I thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now just say with me, Holy Spirit, I repent of all sin. Holy Spirit, I walk in unity with the voice of God. I thank you that you have forgiven me of all rebellion. And I thank you that I walk in forgiveness. And I forgive. And you name that person, whatever it is. It might be father, brother, mother, ex. It might be whomever. Just, I forgive, God. I purposely declare now in your presence, I forgive them in Jesus' name. Matter of fact, you need to lift up your hands in the presence of the Lord, and you need to declare that right there. Just, Lord, I just forgive them now in Jesus' name. I release them. I thank you, Father. I thank you that I can release them and I can forgive them in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Now, Father, I just want to pray over this congregation tonight. I want to thank you, Lord, that we have authority to cast out any unclean spirit, any hindering spirits, any harassing or oppressing spirits, any spirits that visit in the night that bring nightmares or torments or a sense of futility or a sense of loss of worth or depression. We just come against these unclean spirits that have come to visit and come to harass. We take authority over them. We cast them out one by one, in Jesus' name. Now, I don't know what those are. Maybe you have insomnia. Maybe you have tormenting dreams. Maybe you have lustful thoughts. Maybe you have some other propensity. But you just want to speak that right now and command that thing to leave you in Jesus' name. Come on, let's just do it together. Hallelujah. Father, we take authority over them and we command them to go. We say, go now. Insomnia, you need to go. Tormenting spirit, go. Nightmares, go. Fear, go. Jesus' name. Oppression, go. Discouragement, go. Low self-esteem, go. In Jesus' name. Purposelessness, go. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Any other thing, just declare by the power of the name of Jesus and through the blood of the Lamb for it to go. Take authority now and just with me, take your finger and just draw that bloodline around your whole household. Hallelujah. Jesus said, when I see the blood, the death angel will pass over. Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord, that the blood of Jesus is all over my house. It's all over my family, all over my children, all around my grandchildren. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now I want you to just ask the Holy Spirit to fill those places, those voids, those areas in your life that maybe were filled with doubt, filled with fear, filled with torment, filled with depression, whatever. Just ask the Holy Spirit to fill it right now. Come on, lift your hands up. Say, Holy Spirit, I need you to fill me up. I need you to, come on, open up your mouth and say it. Holy Spirit, I need you to fill me. Fill me, fill my heart where there was emptiness. Fill my soul where there was a void. Give me joy. Give me joy unspeakable and full of glory. Give me peace. Oh, hallelujah. Give me a confidence. Give me assurance, Holy Spirit. I pray that you would come and fill me right now. Fill me right now, Holy Spirit. Thank you. Thank you to all the places that were formerly oppressed in my life or even occupied by demonic thought. In Jesus' name, fill me up with your word. Fill me up with your joy. Fill me up with your love. Fill me up, O God, with the goodness of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Now, we just want to take the last 2 minutes, and we want to thank God for our deliverance, okay? You say, well, I didn't have no deliverance. I've been already delivered. All right, well, why don't you thank him for me then, okay? So let's just really thank the Lord for that, and maybe we can get a song that is kind of thankful. I don't know what that would be, but I want us to really bless the Lord. Now, I know when we do this, we normally clap and we yell for about 15 seconds and it dies down. But I'd really like to have a sustained praise for a few minutes. Can we? You think you got it in you? I know it's been a long day and it's already 8:30 and we're about ready to go. But I just want to sustain thank you, Jesus. All right? Can you do it? All right. Some of you can do it. Some of you are like wondering if you can do it. But we're going to do it for you. If you can't do it, I'll shoulder it for you. Come on. One, two, three. Let's give God sustained praise. Hallelujah. Let's give him sustained thanks. Yeah. Yeah. Oh. Thank you, Lord. Now, everybody, come on. Put your hands together, together. Come on. Come on. Come on. Clap to the Lord. Come on. Clap to the Lord. Woo! Come on. Bless the Lord. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom.
Just keep declaring that.
Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom.
Woo!
Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom.
Whoa!
Set the captives free. You came to bring us liberty. My pain and opposition met your blood and my acceptance. Now I'm alive to bring you praise. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Every chain is broken through you, Jesus. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Whoa. Has set free is free indeed. Tell two or three people around you, he who the Son sets free is free indeed. I love you, and there's nothing you can do about it.